You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, it's a midweek punt. We have got Champions League and Europa League action to look forward to in the company of Alex Dunn, Euroboy, Magpie and Acca Builder extraordinaire. How are you doing, Alex?
So, I'm all right. I like two of those things. Magpie, fine. Acca Builder, okay. Euroboy...
You are one of the Euroboys.
Slightly different connotations.
You are a Euroboy.
No, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm fine. Just to set the scene for listeners to the midweek punt, we're based in Leeds. Some of you may be aware of that. We've got some nice studios, a nice studio complex. We've got a big TV studio. We've got three radio studios. It's decent, isn't it? You know, there's everything you need. Screens everywhere. All that sort of stuff. We back onto a municipal car park. Where some of the locals do enjoy smoking what my dad would have referred to in the 70s and 80s as wacky backy.
Nice.
And they tend to smoke it near the air conditioning vents, don't they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And so air conditioned studios, wonderful things, but we are overwhelmed at the moment by the stench of wacky backy.
You just need to chill out, mate. It's great. I'm going to go get some KFC from over the road. Well, I've got some other fried chicken is available.
I've got some flapjack.
Have you had
it? I just brought it in by sheer coincidence. But anyway, so if this podcast deteriorates towards the end, you'll know why.
Which it likely will.
Yeah, that might just be because it just deteriorates. Champions League, first of all, then four matches this midweek, two involving English sides, and we will start with Chelsea Barcelona. What a place to start. 13-5, the English champions. 12-5 the draw, and it's 23-20 for Barcelona. Chelsea, fourth in the Premier League. Barcelona sitting very pretty on top of the table there. 7 points above Atletico Madrid. They've been a little bit patchy in terms of win one, draw one. But you'd have to say that the form team going into this tie is Barcelona. We don't quite know where Chelsea are still. They had that real horrible spell where they got smacked by Bournemouth and then by Watford. Have bounced back. But realistically, they've beaten West Brom 3-0, Hull 4-0. This is a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, just a bit. I really don't know what to make of Chelsea full stop at the minute, because they're just so up and down. And when you called them the English champions there, they don't feel like that.
No, they don't, do they?
No,
it's kind of. I almost second-guessed myself when I went to say it. I was like, are they? Yeah, they are. Yeah.
It's going to come to the stage of the season where when Man City win the league, it's almost going to feel like an anticlimax because they kind of won it 3 months ago. Yeah. Chelsea have got such a good record against Barcelona because they play each other quite often for two sides who possibly shouldn't. They're unbeaten in the last seven games against them.
Great record.
Which is commendable. A lot of draws in there, obviously, but it ain't too bad. And Barca's last win here was in 2006. And that was in the game where Ashiel Del Horno got sent off early on and then Barca came back from 2-1 down to land the spoils. There have been some great games between these two in recent years. Of course, you've got that Ronaldinho goal where we still don't really know how he got it in. That was at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
You've got Fernando Torres scoring at the Nou Camp when Gary Neville did his did that. And it's one of those games that you wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea come out on top, but at the same time, if you're getting Barca in any game at this price right now, you kind of got to sit up and take notice because they're cruising in La Liga. They've not been vintage this season, but it's more that everyone else is, well, Real Madrid mainly, a drop in points. The thing is, though, do you want to back Barca in a game where they don't have to win? They'd probably take a draw here, Barca, and then go and turn them over at the Nou Camp. That said, the 23-20 is just too big to ignore. So I've got to side with Barca. I've got to.
The interesting thing about Barca this season in the Champions League is the kind of the lack of goals in their games. Beat Sporting back in September, 1-0. 0-0 draw at Olympiacos, 0-0 draw with Juventus. I could see 1-0 in there, as in one score, one team will have nil next to their name.
Yeah,
I could actually see the scoreline 1-0 as well. But they haven't been ripping it up like you may expect them to have. The one thing I'd say about Chelsea is that there's been a lot of criticism of them, you know, in the games that don't matter. And people have been saying that, I've heard Derek McGovern say this quite a lot, and Andy XL on the Weekend Punt, saying that they're just looking forward to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
All the big players, all they want to do is look forward to the World Cup, not really bothered about much else. I think this sort of game will pique their interest. You know, I don't think you can be a professional footballer playing for Chelsea Football Club and not raise your game when Barcelona come to town. So that makes me think that this will be a proper game. I can't imagine they'd want to be embarrassed by Barcelona. You see that great stat about Messi, by the way, about he hasn't scored in 655 minutes of football against Chelsea. Amazing, isn't it?
That is, it's crazy. And the thing is, when you look at Barca's players, I think they lack the spark that they did have.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I know that Iniesta is still Iniesta, but he's lacking the spark that he used to have, etc.
They're still brilliant players, aren't
they? There are, but you take Messi and Suarez out of it, and I hate saying this, but it's pretty average. It's not a word you normally use against Barcelona. But
you still like the 23 to 20, though?
I do,
yeah,
but you're almost backing a name there, a reputation, a culture, if you like, because it's the way that they play. They will play that way again. They'll pass, they'll have most of the possession. Chelsea, who defensively last season was superb, this season haven't been. They're going to have to hark back to what they were doing last year to get anything here. They might do that. If you are looking for any time goal scorers for Chelsea, a couple of interest would be, well, whoever's turning up at centre-back, basically, because from a strength point of view, I think Chelsea do have the edge here. So you've got Marcus Alonso, who'll be in the box, but he's 9-2. He's no value there. But the likes of Rudiger, 11s, if he plays, Cahill's 11s, they're worth a look. But I think Barca will win.
Mm.
That's all I've really got for this one.
Yeah,
just a Barca win. Maybe Barca in... I want to say Barca unders, but I could see Chelsea scoring here.
Mm.
I could. But, yeah, you said Messi hasn't scored against Chelsea. He's even money to score here. You'd probably rather back Suarez at even money, given the record between the two. But then again, it's Messi, and if he's got a hat-trick here, you would not be surprised, would you? Because he's Lionel Messi.
Loads of enhanced odds and your odds selections on the website or on the app. A couple here just that might take your fancy. Eden Hazard and Lionel Messi to both score, and each team to have over three corners is 17-2. That's one of the trending your odds. You can pick your own bet by tweeting hashtag your odds to @WilliamHill. Some enhanced odds. Lionel Messi to score and Barcelona to win is 5-2 from 19-10, and Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 4-1. Now 5-1 at WilliamHill.com or on the app. Quick word, Alex, on the other game that on Tuesday night. That's Bayern Munich versus Beşiktaş. Shouldn't really be any question here. 1-6 Bayern Munich. Beşiktaş 16-1. Draw 7-1. Just one for the Akers, this one, or would you be looking a bit deeper into it?
No, Bayern win. Yeah. Move on. No, it's one of those games. I mean,
just stick it in your acca and forget about it.
And they will win. But Beşiktaş have done well. But you get to this stage of the Champions League and you go, oh yeah, they're still there.
Mm.
And it's because their group was much of a muchness. Monaco were in there along with Porto and Leipzig, and you just kind of go, well, any two from that four could have gone through.
Yeah,
Monaco ended up bottom of that group, and you just got to kind of go, yeah, Ben, yeah, look, they were unbeaten. But that won't last.
Yeah. Few enhanced odds across the two Champions League matches on Tuesday. Enhanced specials. Check those out. All around what, how many goals will be scored and who will score them. Over three goals in each of the Champions League matches. Both the matches is 6-1, enhanced from 5. So make sure you check those out.
The fact that Bayern minus a goal is 4-11 tells you all you need to know. I wouldn't back that, by the way. That's way too short. And minus 2 at 19-20, you are requiring a bit of a pacing. Just stick the 1-6 in your acca. It's fine. It's harmless.
Yeah. I also like over 7 goals across both the games on Tuesday. Mm. Was 7-4 now. 2-1. Let's have a look at Wednesday's game. Sevilla versus Manchester United first up. 2-1 the Spaniards. 21-10 the draw and 13-8 the price for Manchester United. Again, an interesting game because we don't quite know where Man U are in terms of their quality at the moment. Inconsistent of late. You've got some decent wins and then you've got some dodgy losses against teams like Newcastle United. I'm only saying that because of the Magpie sat next to me, of course. Sevilla, very strong at home, Alex. Lost to Real Betis, but that's that sticks out like a sore thumb. Their home form is usually absolutely rock solid. Had that 3-3 draw against Liverpool, which was one of the games of the group stages, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's tricky this, because you look back at that Sevilla-Liverpool game and you remember it being 3-3. You remember all the stories about the Sevilla coach at the end of it, and free-flowing attacking football from both sides, and they just sort of took it in turns. You have that half, we'll have this one. Man U are the anti-football, if you like. If Liverpool are a tonic, then Man U must be some kind of dreadful poison, because they're so, so dull. And the thing is, they've got players to not be, but you know what you're getting with Mourinho. I'm not slagging him off, because he gets his teams organised, and and look at the results that he churns out year on year. I don't want to back Man U here, though, to win.
Okay.
Because they don't need to. They're 13-8, they don't need to. Yep. Sevilla do. Sevilla have to win this to go through. Now, the 2-1 on them at home, you're not going to see very often, because, as you mentioned, their home record is superb. Now, Sevilla to qualify is 9-4. Man U are threes on. But don't back Sevilla to qualify at 9-4. Instead, back them to win this match at 2-1. Because they have to win this match in order to go through. The best they can get at Old Trafford is a draw, in my opinion. So the 2-1 on them to win, I actually think is fine. That could be a your odds market as well, actually. Sevilla to win the first leg and Man U to progress could be a way of going at it.
Yeah,
I think we could see home wins for both sides of this. But Sevilla 2-1 is fine. Now, Ben Yedder was a threat in the group stages. He's 19-10 any time. But the price doesn't really entice me that much, because Man U defensively are pretty solid. They make the odd rick, as we have seen, and they're still... I'll tell you what I don't like about Man U. They don't have a best 11. Could you tell me their best 11?
No.
Because their centre-backs chop and change. Yeah. Jones and Smalling look like, oh, hang on, they might actually be the two that we're going to stick with now. And then all of a sudden they start making mistakes. I just find it difficult. And as such, it's hard to put up any kind of goal scorer bet in this, because you don't know who's going to start. You'd imagine it'll be Lukaku with Sanchez and... probably Lingard, but then does it matter? Is it Martial? Rashford's been out injured. You know, it's difficult. I think Sevilla will win. I think it'll be very, very tight. So Sevilla 1-0, I'm looking at 15-2. Sevilla and unders on the goals, which is 4-1. All good ways, but Sevilla at 2-1, full stop, is a really massive price. I think Sevilla should be favourites for this.
Ben Yedder to score and Sevilla to win, 9-2.
Yeah,
tempting a little bit.
It's okay, but I think it'll be so low scoring that rather than going for that, I'd rather back him to score in a 1-0 win, say, at much, much bigger prices.
Yeah, interesting couple of stats, which go a little bit against Alex, but it doesn't mean they're definitely going to happen. Never kept a clean sheet in the knockout stage of the Champions League, Sevilla. Six games, they have won 2 of their 3 home games at this level, though. And they conceded 12 goals in the season's group stages, the highest tally of the clubs that remain. 3 of those, of course. Against Liverpool at home, and they conceded another 2 to them as well. They lost 5-1 to Spartak Moscow away from home as well. But home form key for Alex Dunn here for Sevilla, and a must-win game for them, and he thinks they will get that done. The other game on Wednesday night, just to have a very quick look at, is Shakhtar Donetsk versus Roma. 6-4 Donetsk, 9-4 the draw, 2-1 for Roma. Any strong feelings on this one?
Yeah, Shakhtar shouldn't be 6-4. That's way too short. They're a good side, Shakhtar, but you've got to think as well, the Ukrainian league, that they're just not having a competitive game every other week, are they? They've only just come back from the winter break as well. They're there to be opposed, as far as I'm concerned, Shakhtar. Now, again, Roma don't need to come here and win. Shakhtar do have a decent record against Roma in the Champions League, but again, you're going back to 2006 and 2011 there. Do you really want to base your premise for a bet around a team that was 7 years ago, where there's, you know, barely any trace of that team left on the current lineup? Draw for me, quite simply, 9-4. Probably drawn both teams to score as well. It's 3-1. I think Shakhtar will score in the game. I was expecting to come here and to go, Shakhtar could be a bit of value at the 5-2, 11-4 mark. The fact that they're favourites is baffling as far as I'm concerned. So I'd have to have the draw on my sides. Match result, both teams to score, draw 3-1. But Yeah, I couldn't get involved with Roma at twos either because they don't need to win.
No.
But Roma will go through. That's not a bad one. Roma to qualify 2-5. If you are looking for a short price hacker, I'd stick that in. And I know you do have to wait then for it to land, as it were. But yeah, I think Roma eventually will have no problems. They'll take a draw, though, from Donetsk.
Yeah, I think both teams to score 8-11 is decent as well. Shakhtar have won their home games in the Champions League 2-1, 3-1 and 2-1. And Roma have scored in two out of their three away games as well this season, scoring two at Karabag and three at Chelsea. On to the Europa League, where we've got Celtic and Arsenal in action. We'll have a look at Celtic quickly first. They go to Zenit with a 1-0 lead on aggregate. 4-7 Zenit, 3-1 the draw. Celtic are 9-2 to win this game in 90 minutes. Alex, obviously they don't need to because they've got that 1-0 cushion from the first leg. But a bit of a different prospect going to Zenit, where they're one of those teams who've got a really strong home record. But again, you know, they're coming out of this, they're coming out of the winter break, aren't they? The only game they've played since the winter break was that 1-0 defeat in Scotland.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you've got, on the one hand, I've just slagged off the Ukrainian league, and obviously Zenit come from Russia, which is slightly more competitive. But they're coming up against Celtic. Now, if we're slagging the Ukrainian league off, what are we going to say about the Scottish league? I mean, Celtic basically just have to turn up every week. And then at the weekend, they did, and they actually drew with St Johnstone, which will have been an absolute acca killer. I don't like Zenit at 4-7, though. They're way too short. Celtic are the kind of team that, on their day, they really can knuckle down and grind and...
That's what they'll go and do here, won't they? They're not going to go out there and try and... I mean, look at their away form.
I know
it's going back a few years, but we know even in the Champions League, their away form in Europe isn't clever. They're not going to go into this, you know, with wild abandon, thinking we're going to, you know, take you on. It's going to be a cagey game, surely. A draw is good enough, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll get it. I think Zenit will go through. Okay. Now, Zenit double result is 29-20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Basically for Zenit to come out and go, right, this is what's happening. And to be fair, Celtic could still go through with that. They'd have to go through extra time, etc., etc. Or they could go through in away goals, I suppose. But yeah, Zenit, half-time, full-time, that'd be the way that I'd go. If you want to take Zenit on the handicap, I mean, minus a goal is 8-5. That's quite appealing. I'd much rather go Zenit in some kind of wild, outlandish handicap or double result, something like that, than back them outright at 4-7. It's too short as far as I'm concerned. But Celtic just don't inspire me. And I think, crucially, I don't see them scoring here. And that could be a massive nail in their coffin. So it's going to have to be Zenit to go through, unfortunately, for Celtic. And best bet would be Zenit half-time, full-time.
Hashtag your odds available on all these games, remember. Arsenal versus Östersund is the last game that we're going to have a look at. They got a very healthy 3-0 lead in Sweden last week, Arsenal. So they go into the home match with not too many worries, to be fair. And the record in the Europa League this season has been very strong. That solitary loss to Köln away from home, but they've scored plenty of goals at the Emirates. 6 against Bate Borisov, 3 against Köln. They drew a blank against Slovana Zvezda way back in November. But the away form for the Swedes isn't particularly good either. They've played a fair few games in the Europa League already this season. They've got a couple of wins on there, but against teams that you wouldn't really... your normal man in the street probably wouldn't recognise. Zuria and Fola Esch. I don't even know where Fola Esch are from.
Luxembourg.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I think.
This is a shopping trip for Östersund, isn't it?
Yeah. It probably is, and you're looking at the 1-4, and you're going, is this the best 1-4 I've ever seen?
Surely it'd be a weakened team, given that Arsenal got a massive game at the weekend.
That's the crux of it, and they are limited as to how much they can rotate because you've got to name your squad, haven't you? For the have you seen, by the way? This is a stupid rule. Do you see what number Mkhitaryan had to wear last Thursday?
No.
Number 77. He's number 7 for Arsenal. Right. It's because Sanchez wore number 7 in the competition for them, so he's now number 77, but only in Europe. Silly.
Stupid.
But yeah, you'd expect that they're going to play as low-key a side as is possible, but I don't think it matters because they're not going to have a team full of absolute kids, if that makes sense. No, it's not going to be a whole academy side. There might be two or three players dropped in who wouldn't normally be first-team players, but it doesn't matter. So I think there will be a lot of value to be found in the goalscorer markets. Unfortunately, I can't put any of them up right now because I'm not even going to hazard a guess at the starting 11. I just think that they'll have way too much. Now, Arsenal minus a goal in this is 6-10. I actually think that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal to nil as well. I know it's not a market that a lot of people like getting involved with, but I actually don't mind it. I don't see Östersunds coming here and scoring, quite simply.
Right.
Arsenal to nil is... I can't find it. Can you? I've been trying to find while I was talking there. I was trying to pad.
Sorry, if I'd have realised, I'd have helped you out.
No, it's fine. I looked where it normally is on the console, and I could not find it. There we go. Found it.
21-20.
21-20, which is really good, actually.
Yeah, nice.
It's worth the wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, player-wise, there will be a lot of value to be found. I would say Welbeck, although he's 8-11 any time, if he starts, that's a great bet.
Reece Nelson's an interesting one.
Yeah.
He scored 7-9 in the Premier League 2, whatever you call it these days, in the 23 league. If he gets there, he played against Cervena Vesda. I didn't score, but was in that team at home. Because obviously they haven't got Giroud anymore. They haven't got Walcott anymore for the forward line, have they? So, you know, I would think he might play. And obviously been in decent nick this season as a whole. So if you can, I mean, you know, you just got this level of football.
Yeah, well, it's tricky because they've basically sold the bulk of their Europa League side, Arsenal, haven't they? With Giroud and Walcott and Debuchy as well at the back. I'd have no qualms at all in going big here on Arsenal if they didn't have that game at the weekend.
Yes,
because obviously they didn't play last weekend with them being at the cup. I'd have no qualms at all in doing that, but they'll win it really comfortably. I'd best bet Arsenal win to nil, but there will be some fascinating markets available on the goal scorings. You've just got to wait for team news.
Yeah. Elneny's one. He scored earlier on in the competition, and he's 6-1 to score in this one. He played again in the first leg at Östersunds.
Again, team news. I think he's a likely starter, but he might play in a back three, which he has been doing a bit this season, and obviously that wouldn't be great. But look, I think that they could run riot here, Arsenal, with all respect to Östersunds. And I say with all respect, we've not mentioned them once in this preview in a positive light. But there's a reason for that. Arsenal have to go in your Akers at 1-4. They'll win this. They'll win it comfortably. It's up to you as to how comfortably you fancy backing them. But for me, it'll be win to nil.
Any bet out of all those bets that you've put up that you just think, I love that bet?
That a one.
Really?
Arsenal, yeah. When I saw the 1-4 on them, I thought, is that too good to be true? And you look, and Östersunds have constantly been defying the odds in the Europa League so far this season. But it doesn't matter. Arsenal will win this. They'll win it really comfortably. They will comfortably win. And if you are looking for one at a slightly bigger price, I think Sevilla at 2-1.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex Dunn. Euroboy, Magpie, Acker Builder extraordinaire. The stench has actually drifted away, hasn't it?
Yes.
Soon after I said that, it was almost like they were listening, and they just wandered off. So we've got through it. That's all good. You'll get all the previews and the in-play betting on In-Play Radio, plus updates on betting TV. You can find both of those on the side menu of the William Hill app, or just go on to williamhill.com and click on betting TV or radio to find both of those. Also, you'll find all the Robbie Savage previews on the website and on William Hill's various social media outlets. Make sure you check out all the offers. Use your Bet Boost. You can use that pre-match and in play on the app. You just go onto your market, click it, go to the bet slip, and if it says Bet Boost, hit it and you'll get a bigger price. One a day you get, so make sure you use those when you're having your bets on the Champions League and Europa League this week. Thanks, Alex.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.